The first lesson is written in Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Word of God, word of life. The reading is from Romans, beginning with the eighth verse, or chapter 8, 12th verse. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please, if you'd be seated. God loves you by giving. I hope that's the sentence that you'll take home with you today. I invite you to bring that sentence to mind every day this week, to take 30 minutes, sustained, sometime this week to reflect on that sentence. That sentence is the heart of the gospel. It summarizes how we experience the triune God. God loves by giving. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16 is more than an end zone poster at a football game. John 3:16 is more than the most popular verse on all Christian merchandise. John 3:16 is more than the most common verse chosen by Lutheran confirmation students. Martin Luther called this verse the gospel in miniature. He spoke about it as Christianity in a nutshell. If the rest of Christian scripture disappeared, Luther once said, this one verse would be enough to carry God's good news to the world. John 3:16, therefore, is probably worth 10 or 12 minutes of our time today. God loves you by giving. I want to clear up an important misunderstanding. In Bible translations, the littlest words always cause the biggest problems. And here in John 3:16, that little word is the word so. Some versions translate this as so much, as in God loved the world so much that God gave God's only Son. They talk about the amount of God's love, and that's inaccurate and unhelpful. The word means in this way, by this method, in this manner. John 3:16 isn't talking about how much God loves. After all, God always loves completely, always. John 3:16 is talking about the way God loves. For God loved the world in this way that God gave. These are the three persons and one God, Martin Luther wrote in 1528. These are the three persons and the one God who has given God's self to all wholly and completely. With all that God has and is. Giving is not a secondary feature of God. Giving is God's heart. As Luther wrote, God's being is to give God's self. The Father gives us all of creation, including ourselves and our neighbors. The Son gives himself to us so that we might be fully human. The Holy Spirit gives us faith in Christ and the gifts to share God's love. Giving binds the Trinity together. And giving defines the Trinity's relationship to creation. God loves you by giving. Now we can move on a bit. God loves you by giving the only Son. It's important to remember who this Son is, of course, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. We read in John 1:14, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. God loves you by giving God's Son. the one who is close to the Father's heart. We read those words in John 1:18. We Christians use the metaphor of parenting to describe the depth of this gift. As a parent, you know, I would rather cut off one of my arms than to have my children suffer. As I say that this weekend, I think especially of all the black parents who have lost children in racially motivated killings. I know that nothing costs me more than handing over my children. Even something as simple and as joyous as watching them graduate, an experience many people are having at this time of year, that brought me a joyous heartbreak beyond words. Now transpose all of this into the key of infinity, and that will help us to appreciate a little bit God's gift. God loves you by giving God's Son. Now, this isn't a transaction. This isn't giving something to get something. This isn't a payment to anyone. This is self-giving love. If it were a transaction, it wouldn't be love. It's a gift. That self-giving love is God's heart. It defines everything that God is and does. What then are we to say about these things, Paul writes in Romans 8? If God is for us, who is against us? The one who did not withhold God's own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will God not with him give us everything else? Well, and Paul says the resounding answer to that question is yes, of course, God will and God does. And therefore, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how Romans 8 works, by the way. If God loves you by giving, then you can love God by receiving. Let me say that again. If God loves you by giving, then you can, first of all, love God by receiving. If I had to pick one word to kind of define and describe Lutheran spirituality, that would be the word, receiving. Now, I'm using a lot of words to describe God's love as giving, but in a few minutes, you know, we're going to experience that good news in the Lord's Supper. And I hope you'll pay attention to what happens in that meal. First, you'll hear the promise, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. These words aren't merely a reminder. They're not merely history. In those words, the Holy Spirit tells you what to expect in that meal. The Holy Spirit creates in you the trust that makes receiving possible. The Holy Spirit invites you to come, to eat and drink, to receive. Now, second, you'll receive the fulfillment of that promise. You eat the bread and drink the cup, and the promise is made real. These elements are not merely symbols. The meal is not some sort of memorial or reminder. The meal fulfills the promise. In the Small Catechism, Luther puts it this way: whoever believes these very words has what they say. God loves you by giving God's Son, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to receive the gift. Now, through the Son and by the power of the Spirit, God reconciles us to God. God restores us to God's image and likeness. God continues to work on us to make us truly and fully human as we were created to be. If God loves by giving, then we who are made in God's image can love by giving as well. I think of Christians as sort of pipelines for God's love to the world. God loves our neighbor and our creation through us. God does nothing in you without you. But what happens to a pipe when it's blocked? Well, it might burst under the pressure, or the water in it might become stagnant and stinky. I've done enough amateur home plumbing to know that that's the last thing I'd ever want to do with my life, is open up a blocked pipe. Keeping God's love locked in ourselves is a good image of what sin is. Receiving God's gifts joyfully and sharing those gifts with others is a good image of what it means to be fully human. For we are what God made us, Paul says in Ephesians 2. We are what God made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Receiving God's love and giving it to others is what we're made for. God loves you by giving God's Son. The Holy Spirit empowers you to receive that gift, and the Spirit frees you to channel that gift to your neighbor and all of creation. Blessed be the Trinity today and always. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we pray that we would hear your word of promise and receive it, that we would allow ourselves to be transformed by that word, to be channels of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.